SVG stages a comeback for the ages at Watkins Glen, and NASCAR now heads to Dover for All-Star Weekend. All that and a lot more on this edition of Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
To absolutely no one's surprise, NASCAR's favorite Kiwi, Shane Van Gisbergen, won at the Glen. But how he did it? Oh, that's the tale within the story of the race from Watkins Glen this past weekend. Hi, Doug Rice with you, joined by Alexis Erickson and Kyle Petty in studio. From our remote location in a bunker somewhere in Texas is Brad Gilley. And we're thrilled to be with you to break down everything that went on at the Glen this past weekend. First off, let's catch the thrilling finish, or maybe it wasn't so thrilling, from the Motor Racing Network.
Final time for Shane Van Gisbergen, working his way out of the long winding carousel, now onto the short straightaway, racing down to the sure Jackie Stewart grandstands in turn number six. All the fans come to their feet, waving at Shane Van Gisbergen as he goes by for the final time.
Up onto the straightaway, checkered flag in the air, Shane Van Gisbergen rolls a perfect game and wins the Go Bowling at the Glen.
Nicely played there. Of course, Alex Hayden on the final call from MRN of Shane Van Gisbergen winning by 7 seconds. Seems to be routine what he does at the road courses. Let's hear from him.
Yeah, pretty unreal. Just very thankful to my Trackhouse team here, and unbelievable day. It was amazing, the strategies, how they worked out, but car was just magic to be able to do that and push on when I needed to back it up from last year's pretty unreal.
And, of course, his signature victory celebration involved kicking an autographed rugby ball into the stands. It was fumbled, but recovered by the guy that fumbled it. Let's put the pieces together here at the end. Alexis, not surprised at all at the outcome. How we got there, that's the story.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about a road course and SVG making it to Victory Lane, you're like, oh, okay, well, we've heard this story before. But I feel like, and somebody else, Brad, probably with his amazing memory, can tell me of another amazing drive that he had. But this, to me, I think was the most impressive because of the way strategy fell and things, you know, worked themselves out. He ended up having to pit with about 25 laps to go, came back out onto the racetrack with full tank of gas and new tires, and was able to make up an incredible amount of time. I think it was close to 30 seconds he was able to make up to gain the lead back. And then on top of that, in this 25 laps, gaining that 30 seconds to take the lead back, he wins by like 7-something seconds. I mean, it's amazing when you think about the amount of time per lap he was able to gain on this drive that he had to come from, back in the pack to win the race. And in my opinion, I thought, and I told you this when I came in today, the first thing I thought of was like Wayne's World, like we're not worthy of this. You know what I mean? It's amazing what he does.
So Kyle, he emerged back into line in 26th place, almost 30 seconds back. And then he doesn't just go up and win. He's got 7 laps at the end where he leads and wins by 7 seconds.
So I'm going to be the wet blanket.
Please do it.
and I say this, perfect storm. They put themselves in a position where he had to pit and come back from that. At the same time, the two guys that are leading the race are saving fuel. So they're not running all out.
Sure.
So if they're running their lap times and they're running all out, does he make up that time? Does he make up that distance? I don't know. And we'll never know, because he did make up the distance and he did drive. That is the magic of Shane that I see, is you never know what he has. It's hard to figure and to plot against Shane as a driver, because when he's leading by 3, he could be leading by 9. We don't know that. I don't think his team knows that. Steve and those guys, I don't think he lets them know what he has. But the thing was, at the end of the race, and this is what I go back off of, is basically when they dropped the green flag and he was on the pole and Michael McDowell was second, in the first 10 or 12 laps, he drove out to a 5 or 6 second lead. At the end of the race, he had that same 5 or 6 second lead over Michael McDowell. The race ended the same way the first five, 12 or 15 laps were. And I thought it was an amazing drive. It was absolutely amazing drive. But he comes up through there passing cars that are saving fuel, trying to get to the end of the race, and they're just getting out of the way towards the end. So he has a clear racetrack in a lot of ways. But it was fascinating to watch and good TV.
So, Brad, if I'm hearing Kyle right, he is saying – Shane was a rabbit chasing tortoises.
Pretty much. I love it. So Kyle brings up Michael McDowell. I love what McDowell said at the end of the race. He's like, you know, just when you think you're getting close and maybe you're coming up on him and you think he's pushing hard, you realize he's not. Because then he just goes and drives away. But, you know, I looked over at my wife at one point and she was like, what's happening? I said, he's insulting the field right now. Because, I mean, look, he comes out after pitting on lap 76 and funnels back into the field in 26th and literally passes all of those cars to win by the 7.2 seconds. It was just incredible. I actually think this might be one of the first times in all of his wins that we've seen him push as hard as he's pushed. Now, you know, Mexico City with a 16-second margin of victory and things like that, we've seen all the great things he could do, but just the masterful way he was driving through the field. And look, remember, in road racing, they always used to say, look, you can't win the race and win stages. Well, they won the second stage and they won the race driving away. And I think that's the thing where his crew chief, Stephen Doran, said, look, we can get on this strategy because we have the car and the driver who could just muscle his way through.
Alexis, at this point, do you think that the other drivers have Shane Gisbergen living in their head rent-free?
I mean, I think so for sure, because how could you not? I mean, we talk about it at nauseam. The fans talk about it. It's all the chatter on social media. It's everywhere. When we go to a road course, his name is brought up more than anybody else's name. So how could it not be something that as a driver, as a competitor, you're constantly thinking about? Not to mention, they've all raced against him. They all know how good he is. Just like Brad said, when McDowell got out and he said, you know, I thought I maybe knew, you know, where he stood. And then he grabs another gear and, you know, and drives off. And so I think absolutely he is living rent-free in every driver in the field's head.
Yeah, and I think Brad brings up a great point. And we brought it. I was talking to Todd Gordon last night. We were doing a thing. And I brought this up to him. When you have Shane Van Gisbergen driving your car, you can go to a different strategy. Listen, Ray Evernham could go to a different strategy with Jeff Gordon in a lot of places. Kurt Schelmerdine could with Dale Earnhardt Sr. Dale Inman did with Richard Petty. Great drivers who you don't really understand and don't know how far they can go until you put them in that position. You just throw them in that and out into the fire. And that's what he did. They had a strategy. They were going to stick with it, and he believes in the driver, and the driver has the ability. So you can go down different highways.
All right. I don't like these comparisons, but that doesn't mean I won't do it. So I'll start with Brad Gilley here. Brad, is he on pace, or is he already the best road racer that NASCAR has ever seen?
God, see that is so hard to say.
Yeah, because, I know.
I have an opinion.
No way.
Well, good. But look, I'm the one that says, you know, Richard Petty, Dale Earnhardt, Jeff Gordon, Jimmy Johnson, none of them were the greatest driver ever, but they all belong in the same room.
Yeah.
And I think you can look at the different eras of road racing and put Van Gisbergen in the same room.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. For sure. He's in the room. And he's at the head table. You know what I mean? I'm going to put him in a room. I'm going to put him at the head table. This is what I'm going to say. Okay. Quit throwing this greatest of all time. Quit throwing this greatest. He is the best we have right now. He's run 57 races, 57 freaking races over 4 years, and we want to call him the greatest that NASCAR has ever had. Gurney runs 16 races and won 5 of them. Percentage-wise, Gurney's pretty dang good, you know what I mean, from a road race standpoint. The difference is when Gurney raced, when Richard Petty raced, when Tim Richmond raced, a lot of those guys in the Cup, we only run Riverside. How can you? You're never going to be the greatest road racer in the world running one race. You know what I mean? So you can't compare him. Like Brad says, you can't. There is no greatest. He has, I think, I'm going to throw Marcos Ambrose in this. Marcos Ambrose came into this series and did something with that 47 car that nobody else could ever do with that 47 car. No, with JTG. Could not move that thing to the top. Marcos did it, and that was an antiquated car according to what Marcos drove, because he drove supercars. You know, he had to step back and learn to drive this thing that was called a stock car. But everybody, AJ, everybody elevated their game. We've seen Shane come in. He came right out of supercars into basically a supercar. He understands this car. He understands the rack and pinion, the sequential shift, the independent rear suspension, everything. So he has made these other guys elevate their game. I believe, and this is Kyle's theory, you're not going to teach. They said it yesterday. Joey Logano came up there, and he's going to heel and toe. He's going to use his left foot. He's going to do what Shane does. You can't. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. Once you're into that rhythm, you just can't. When they went to non-clutch, using the clutch, I couldn't not use the clutch. I had to use the clutch because that's the way I learned. But you have Connor Zilich. You have Ty Gibbs. You have these young drivers who are able to look at Shane's data, and they can duplicate that. So what we're going to see post-Shane and in the next few years are young drivers who rise to that level. And they're going to leave the Chase Elliotts, and they're going to leave the Joey Loganos, and they're going to leave those guys behind because they can't adjust. I think he changes the game, but I'm not going to give you greatest. That's a lot.
It is a lot. And you're comparing different eras. You're comparing so many things that really can't be compared.
That's right.
I think when you look at what he's doing right now, in this moment, he is the best that there is on the racetrack, my opinion, right now. We still have yet to see what the rest of his career is going to hold. Yeah. How long is he going to continue to drive cup cars? How many more road courses could he possibly win? I think he only has two more wins to get before he gets to a tie with the most road course wins ever, which is 9, I think. Yes.
But even that's a skewed number.
Right.
Because I'm going to say.
Exactly. There's
by
more races.
4 or 5 races a year compared to one or two a year, you don't get there.
1,000%. And that's why it is so hard. You're comparing apples and oranges, unfortunately, in these types of situations. We love to do it. We love to make lists. We love to rank things. We love to do all of that in the media. And just, you know, humanity loves to do that. But I think all I can say definitively is he is the best right now.
That's right.
It's fun to do in all sports, and that's just my opinion. There's only one sport that has won all time the greatest, and that's boxing and Muhammad Ali. I don't think there's an argument to be made for Smoking Joe Frazier or Sonny Liston or any of these other people that came along. Ali opened that sport up, and he was the best ever at it for a long run. You get even into basketball, and I'm from North Carolina. Some people, Michael Jordan. Now there's people that are saying LeBron James is the greatest. Those people are wrong, but they're still saying.
What about Kobe?
That's right. You got to throw Kobe in there, too. Yeah, that's exactly right.
But that's the fun of it. I think in all sports, there's only one the greatest, at least in my humble opinion. Really not humble.
Good opinion.
All right, let's give you the Toyota Racing Rundown. And here's their performance report from the Glen. Ty Gibbs keeps on sizzling this year. He finished third. Chase Briscoe finally rallies. He gets a fourth. Tyler Reddick just keeps hanging around and showing Tyler Reddick things was fifth. John Hunter Nemechek with the top 10. He was 10th. Hamlin was 16th. 19th went to Eric Jones. C. Bell, who apparently was upset with Bubba Wallace at the end of this, was 21st. Riley Herbst was 26th. And Bubba Wallace finished 29th. That's your Toyota performance report. Brought to you by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be a part of the action at ToyotaRacingUSA.com.
What makes Toyota Racing Toyota Racing? It's not just how we drive, it's why we drive. Bubba Wallace drives with resilience, building himself back up with a Toyota team that never lets him stay down. Jade Avedisian drives with determination to be faster, sharper, every lap, every day. Christopher Bell drives with inspiration, because when talent meets the perfect team, you don't just win, you inspire what comes next. Toyota Racing, your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper, rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and X. Protect your engine to the max with ZMAX.
I'm Austin Dillon, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
The
30th anniversary of the Kyle Petty charity ride.
It's hard to believe that. I can't believe I'm like 39 and we've been doing this 30 years. The idea came about 2 o'clock in the morning. We were riding motorcycles to California, and we had stopped and picked up a couple of guys in Oklahoma City, and then we picked up some people in Globe, Arizona, and we were riding in. It was late at night, and it's like, oh my God, this would be so cool. We get people to give us 10 cents a mile. We'll ride. We'll do a bike-a-thon. And I just threw it out in the garage here. Dick Brooks rode with us that first year. Robert Yates rode with us. Cindy Sissoms rode with us. Man, we had so many people. They read about it, and they called us up and said they wanted to go on a ride, and we were like, come on down. Had 10 Hall of Famers that have ridden with us through the years. It is like a traveling show for the NASCAR Hall of Fame to go across country sometime, but it has been really good. We heard of a couple of different hospitals and a couple of different kids that were race fans, and we were thought, hey, we'll just stop and make a donation to help their families pay their bills. And that's what we did. It's all for camp now. It's all for Victory Junction.
30th anniversary of the Kyle Petty Charity Ride. By the way, we are very appreciative of having Kyle Petty in the studio, fresh off of the 30th annual Kyle Petty Charity Ride. We'll chat about that and get some behind-the-scenes report here a little bit later on. Brad Gilley, I want to start with you as I'm looking down the standings here. Kyle Larson is in eighth. He is minus 235 points. He hit a milestone yesterday that he would rather have not have achieved, and that's 36 races without a W. It feels a given that Kyle Larson will make the chase, but is he a legitimate threat at this stage to be a back-to-back champion?
Back-to-back champion, I think he is because he's Kyle Larson. I don't think you can take that away from him. But the fact of the matter is he needs to get to victory lane. And when you take Tyler Reddick's lead right now, that just sort of ebbs and flows. It went from 109 points now to 129 points over Denny Hamlin. You have to factor that in. There is stiff competition. I'm not saying Tyler Reddick is going to run away with the championship because there will be a pretty big reset after 14 more points races. But yeah, I can't take away Kyle Larson from still being a legitimate threat to win a championship. There are too many good tracks for Kyle Larson in that final 10 to take him out of that conversation.
Alexis, what do you think? Can he go back-to-back being an eighth right now?
Yeah, I mean, when you think about, like Brad said, you know, they reset the points, so it's not going to be this huge deficit once the chase starts. But he does need to start, you know, getting wins and getting those bonus points, if you will, those extra 15 points to try to work his way up. I mean, how many times have we heard, and this is something we've heard from the drivers, and I know that there are people on this panel who don't like the conversation, but that you need to be in a certain position within the chase to be able to get, have a legitimate shot at getting the championship. And I don't think eighth place is it. So where he sits right now, I think he's got a little bit of work to do to climb his way up a little bit further. And to be honest with you, I think once he gets that one win, like he gets that monkey off of his back kind of thing because he is Kyle Larson, I think that that could potentially open up the floodgates, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Kyle?
Yeah, and yes, he's a threat. Listen, Kyle Larson's a threat when he walks in anywhere. If we're going to race from here across the street to the mall, Kyle Larson's a threat. Okay, so he's going to be a threat for the championship. I struggled yesterday when, and I'm looking at the paper right here in front. When is the last time that we saw Hendrick cars running, not having issues, running, and they run 23rd, 24th,
right,
and 25th? That's my issue. It's not a Kyle Larson issue right now. Even though we've seen Chase Elliott run up front and win some, even though we've seen some as a whole, they're just not there. And when I look at this list and I go down, I've got Trackhouse winning, I've got Spire second, I've got Richard Childe RCR up in there, and I've got Colleg all in the top 10. And then I go all the way back, to 23rd to find a Hendrick car. The flagship, the team, the juggernaut, there they are. So I think that's somewhere they've just not found the balance of what this Chevy or what this body is giving them, is giving the drivers, is giving them data-wise. They're just a little bit off for some reason. I don't know why, but I think when they hit it, you've got to factor William Byron and Chase and Larson into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, obviously it being a road course, it's a bit of a, I don't know, I don't want to say one-off, but I don't know if you can, like, look at this particular.
But we've seen those guys win road courses and run up front.
No, we have. Yes. You're right, we have. And for Chase Elliott to finish, you know, 24th yesterday without any real big, you know, issues on the racetrack that we know of to put him there, yeah, that's a little bit concerning. But he also has two wins on the season. I think when you look at them, they're lucky that you know, Carr has two wins, because otherwise it would be like a hit the panic button right now kind of situation for HMS.
Has anybody got a monkey wrench on the panel here? Because I want to borrow it.
Please, throw it. Go for
Throw it.
And I'm not being the contrarian just to be that, but I heard all the same things that all of you said about Kyle Larson is Kyle Larson, and that's just enough. I heard this 5 years ago.
Yeah.
With Jimmy Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
You think Jimmy
say.
Johnson forgot how to drive? You're an idiot. Shut up. Sit down. He's going to win 8 races in a row.
Yeah.
And I'm not putting Kyle Larson in that category, but I think driver slump and team slump. I think this may be more of a team slump than a driver slump.
But listen, I'm going to jump on your bandwagon here a little bit. I think it's a both slump. Okay? Because I don't think Larson has shown back up. Even though he won the championship, y'all can argue all you want to. He didn't win the race when he won the championship. Even though he won the championship, when we go back to it, he disappeared when he went to Indy last year.
He did.
He disappeared from the radar. When all the greatness that led up to Indy and everything that happened there and at Charlotte, he just hadn't been around. He just has not been the Kyle Larson post-Indy last year that he has. So I think it's a double slump on that 5 team.
Now, I do want to play devil's advocate just a little bit. All right. Where is the championship going to be won? It's not going to be won on a road course.
That's true.
It's going to be won at Darlington. And I'm just going to name the tracks where I feel Kyle Larson can actually win, because there are others in there. Darlington, Bristol, Kansas, Las Vegas, the Charlotte Oval is in there. You got Talladega, and guess what? Kyle Larson has been one of the top drivers on speedways over the last couple of seasons. You have Martinsville, and you finish it off at Homestead. Right now, if you're worried about the new Chevy body and if you're trying to find performance in it, do you care if you find the performance on road courses, or do you care if you find it on mile and a half and intermediate tracks where Chase Elliott won last week, and I think Hendrick is actually performing very well now. They sort of come into their own with it.
I mean, that was kind of my point with this being results from a road course, because we don't have, right. This is a year where we know we will next year from announcements made this past weekend, but this year we do not have any road courses in the final Chase races. And so I think, go for it.
No. I just wanted to know if we had a sound effect from Green Flag, Black Flag that where none of us disagree on or agree on it.
Because
almost a little bit of a variation of opinion this. And you're exactly right. And it started with you as saying this is a road course. You're exactly right.
It's fun to play these games
and
look at the standings. I do want to do one more topic before we go to break. Let's hit on Joey Logano really quick. Logano fell out of the top 16, where he was just barely hanging on. He is now 18th in points. And Brad, we asked this question last week. Do we need to be concerned about Joey Logano?
Yes, because actually the Chase format might be exposing that number 22 team. You know, one criticism of the playoffs format was, how can a guy win a couple of championships with an average finish of 15th or 17th just because they got some opportunistic wins? And Team Penske played it perfectly, not insulting Joey Logano, but they didn't have to be good everywhere. Now they do. But honestly, so far it doesn't seem like they've been good anywhere in a lot of these races.
Yeah. And listen, I agree. And Blaney has been good. That is my issue with the whole thing. We can talk where Joey's at, because I believe there are times in your career, and there are times in anybody's career, where you have really solid races and you're running up front and everything's click, click, click and going right. And then you get in that slump where everything is wrong, no matter what. You could be sitting on pit road and all of a sudden the pit sign falls on the windshield and breaks and crushes that. You know what I mean? I mean, just random things happen. Joey has had decent races, but he's not had a great race. I've not seen a great race out of this 22 team, or a team where I felt like they're the guy. They are the guy. We're 12 races in. They've not been the guy. Blaney has been the guy. Blaney has been the guy a number of times. And that's my issue with the 22 and with Joey Logano right now, is they've got to be the guy inside the Penske organization before we can talk about them being the guy to be in the playoffs and win the championship.
Well said, for sure. I don't think you can look at the body of work that we've seen from that team this year and think that there is not an issue.
He is behind not just Ryan Blaney, but Austin Cindric.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cindric is 15th, Joey Logano, as we speak, 18th in points. Kyle Petty's back from the 30th annual Kyle Petty Charity Ride. Let's find out what went on. We'll do that next.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system. Keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at ZMAX.com or follow us on Facebook and X.
I'm Denny Hamlin, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Do you have diabetes? I'm sure you've seen the television commercials on the new CGM devices from all the top brands and how well they can help you manage your diabetes. Do you have the latest and newest in diabetes technology? The Diabetes Solution Center carries most of the top brands, and the great news is your insurance may cover most of the cost. Call our special CGM hotline today, and our friendly representatives will help see if you qualify. You could get a new CGM from the top brands at little or no cost to you. Make living with diabetes easier. You are just one free phone call away to learn if your insurance covers the cost. So make this free call today to the Diabetes Solution Center and learn for free how to get your new continuous glucose monitor.
800-396-0150. 800-396-0150. 800-396-0150. That's
800-396-0150. It is Fast Talk. I'm Doug Rice, joined by Brad Gilley, Alexis Erickson, and also in studio today, Kyle Petty, fresh off the 30th annual Kyle Petty Charity Ride. So the floor is yours. Tell us about ride and some of your experiences and any kind of behind-the-scenes things.
Great time. So since we're talking road courses, we started the 30th anniversary charity ride with a lap around Sonoma, following the Hot Wheels car. J.R. Hildebrand has the Hot Wheels car, the old Hot Wheels car that I drove. So we rode around the racetrack, took the green flag. 9 days later, we took the checkered flag right out here from the studio. We lapped Charlotte Motor Speedway, which was fascinating. In between, man, we went through Capitol Reef, through the canyons, or through the national parks, rode through Ely, Nevada, which is my favorite town in America. Highway 50, the loneliest road in America. Went to Graceland. Man, great. Took Richard Petty to Graceland. First time the king of stock car racing had ever been to Graceland. Walked through the house. I mean, it was fascinating. Fascinating that my dad would look at the house and we'd walk through Graceland and he'd say, "We had a front door just like that. We had kitchen cabinets like that." And he's right. It looked like my old house that we grew up in a lot of ways. It was funny. We went to Johnny Morris's and he met us there. Went to Bass Pro Shops. That was amazing. Went to the Coker Museum, Corky Coker. If you're ever in Chattanooga, go to the Coker Automotive Museum. It's amazing. Went through Wheels of Time, which is a Harley Davidson museum in Maggie Valley, which is just fascinating. But just had a great time with a lot of great people. Bill Davidson, great-great-grandson of the Harley-Davidson founders, was there. Rick Allen. Clint Boyer came in and rode with us a couple of days. He and Stephen Wallace. And then Matt Kenseth and David Reagan rode with us a few days. My dad rode with us. It was just a fun, fun time. And this is going to be a big year. We raised a lot of money. I don't know how much we raised. But when we announce it, it's going to be one of the probably the biggest year we've ever had.
So I followed along on social media, like I'm sure a lot of people did. And, you know, all of it looked amazing. But to me, I saw the videos of you getting to take each of your boys
That was
for
cool.
a ride.
First
time. How was that? Because you have a differing ages.
Yeah, oh yeah. 3, 5, and 7.
Yep.
So, yeah. So Overton was perfect. Overton rode like 300 miles the one day he rode with me. Cotton rode probably 160 miles. And of that 160 miles, he rode probably half of it backwards. He would get around behind me and put his legs beside of me and hang on to the luggage rack on the back of the bike and look backwards and wave at everybody and kept wanting me to pass everybody and wave. The van, we just rode probably about 40 or 50 miles with him and he was just holding on tight, but he had a great time.
Yeah.
He kept wanting to drive the thing. That's his problem. But that's the cool part about the ride. My sister Sharon goes, my brother-in-law Terry. There's so many people. The Manaforts, John Manafort, who passed away a couple of years ago, he was on the ride. His sons went on the ride with him, and now his grandchildren are on the ride. And that's the cool part to me about the ride is this generational after 30 years.
Yeah, I love seeing some of the old pictures compared to the new ones. And you mentioned Graceland. What a great photo of you in front of the gates to Graceland and all of that. And, you know, ultimately, this all benefits just one amazing thing in Victory Junction Gang Camp. And those are the stories we love hearing as well. What good this does.
I'm going to tell you, it's fascinating because we've been very, very blessed with Victory Junction and with its connection to NASCAR and to NASCAR racing and all the drivers that have helped out. That we've seen kids from all 50 states and from 6 foreign countries. We've seen or touched the lives of 150,000 kids in 22 years, totally free of charge, which just blows me away. Which means that when we pass through Tulsa, Oklahoma, or Springfield, Missouri, or Chattanooga, Tennessee, there's campers and their families that come out, and they'll come out and have dinner with us, and they come out and hang out with us in the parking lot. And for the riders, that is that. That's that touchstone. That's that thing. And they think, man, what a miserable day this might have been. It might have rained. It didn't rain on us this year. We had great weather. Let me say that. But it might have been a tough day on them personally. And then they see a kid in the parking lot and they're like, man, that's why we're riding. That's what this is all about. We're just riding so that they can go to camp, so that they can have that experience. So it has been, that part of it is spectacular. And I appreciate all the families of all the campers that bring them out, but all the people that ride they're the heroes of this thing.
How does that make Kyle Petty feel when you roll into a little town and the town has doubled the population because they're waiting to see you guys come
in? Yeah, I said it. We rolled into Hardy, Arkansas, and it says population 786 people, and there were 786 people in the parking lot. That's the way and it is fascinating. But you know what? It makes me happy. You know what I mean? I'm just bringing people to town. I'm bringing Richard Petty and Clint Bowyer and these guys to town. What it really makes me happy is, and we're doing this show because of it, NASCAR. I am blown away at the reach of NASCAR in small town America and in rural America. It will absolutely blow. You go to Chicago, you might see 6 shirts. You go to Hardy, Arkansas, you see 786 NASCAR shirts and 786 NASCAR fans. It is an American sport with American roots. And the Americans believe in it. And it's funny, it's the 250th birthday of America, but that's part of what we saw coming across America this year was the pull of NASCAR as a whole and what it has done. We talk about it all the time. You know, and everybody's, well, is NASCAR in a good place? Is it healthy? Should it be? You go to middle America, NASCAR's in a dang good place. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people watching and paying attention.
I do want to give you a platform to heap some praise on your wife because that's very important. Morgan, it feels like is the cornerstone of the way that this ride ticks off.
Listen, we can say cornerstone, but she's all four corners, the foundation and the first 6 floors. Okay. She's the whole thing. And that is it. Clint Bowyer said it. He rode with us for 2.5 days and he said, at the end of the second day, he said, I realized riding in to Memphis that we have yet to stop at a stop sign or a stoplight or stop anywhere, that we have a police escort everywhere. She organizes a police escort, whether it be through the sheriff's department, state patrol, city police, hotel rooms, 220 hotel rooms every night, 3 meals a day, fuel stops for 150 bikes and all of our support vehicles. She organizes all that. I don't do it. I just ride a motorcycle. I am the clown in the circus. That is my job. My job is to be the clown and to wave and to give. I'm that guy that stands on the side of the road and twirls a sign that says, you know, free pizza right here, free pizza, come in. And that's my job. But for her, man, she works tirelessly. And she was, we lives up to the right. And she went to work this morning at 7 o'clock because now it's time to reconcile all the bills, get everything and put this ride to sleep. So that in another 3 or 4 weeks, we can start on the next one.
Amazing. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
And I think I speak on behalf of all NASCAR fandom and fans of humans. We appreciate what you and your charity and this ride have done.
Thank you guys very much. God bless you.
All right. They didn't go to Dover, but NASCAR is next week. Let's talk about that next.
This is a consumer warning for men in our audience looking to buy generic versions of the blue or yellow pills online. Be very careful. Many of these products may be completely ineffective. Our research team has found versions of these blue and yellow pills for the remarkable price of about $1 a pill. They have a success rate as high as 87% to help men with erection issues. And remember, with a price as low as $1, you'll get more bang for your buck. Call now and we can confidentially ship your order with no questions asked. Call now to learn how to get our versions of the blue or yellow pills for about $1 a pill. Call now and ask for express shipping to get your package in days. 800-245-4816. 800-245-4816. 800-245-4816. That's 800-245-4816. Call Pharmacy Shop now.
I'm Alex Bowman, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
I'm Andrew Kurland, along with David Stiles, here to give you the latest NASCAR news and opinions each weekday on PRN's Garage Pass. You'll hear everything from race recaps to feature stories, industry news, and chatter from around the garage.
I just think it's interesting to see kind of what your heart rate does in moments of calm or, you know, when things start to ramp up and how quickly it can kind of recover from that.
With Garage Pass, you won't miss a moment from green to checkered flag.
Victory Junction is a year-round camp for children with chronic and life-threatening illnesses and serious medical needs. We'll see 120 kids with spina bifida, 120 kids with craniofacial disorders, 120 kids who have diabetes or who have asthma from 6 to 16 years old. It empowers them to just be the kids that they are that week. Not their disease, not their illness, they're just a kid. If you know a child that can benefit from Victory Junction, we'll do everything in our power to make sure that child comes to camp.
NASCAR packs up and heads to Dover, the Monster Mile, for the annual All-Star Race this weekend. Brad Gill is going to be up there all weekend for that. Brad, what's your level of anticipation heading to Dover for the All-Star Race?
It's pretty high. Number one, the weather looks like it's going to be awesome all weekend long. We have a triple header weekend. We have a different format. I know there's been criticism, but there always will be. Look, let the race play out. Someone's going to win $1 million when it's all said and done. And that's my big curiosity as well. Is this going to be the year of Tyler Reddick? Sometimes with all-star races, we see the driver that's just been winning all year at the first third of the season be the one that gets it. Could this be the year of Kyle Larson? And Doug, this might play into you. Sometimes we see someone's only win come in the all-star race when it comes to a certain season. But we don't know what's going to happen, and that's what's magical about it to me, and I really, really love going to Dover.
And, Brad, Alexis uses this phrase a lot, inside baseball. The Saturday broadcast of the O'Reilly race is going to be a little bit different mix as far as the broadcast crew on PRN is concerned.
So this might technically be the first time ever that the NASCAR Racing Network, the Performance Racing Network, and the Motor Racing Network have broadcast on the exact same weekend. And basically, this is an MRN crew. The All-Star race is theirs. But the Saturday O'Reilly race is a PRN race. So I'll be going up there, and on Friday for trucks and Sunday for Cup for the All-Star race, I'll be working in the turns. But Saturday, I'll be anchoring in the booth. And basically, Bagman and I, who this is a home race for my Bagley are just going to swap positions on Saturday, and it's going to be pretty awesome. So we'll have a lot of fun out there.
And by the way, they love them some Mike Bagley and
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they
yes,
do.
They do.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, hometown boy.
I mean,
yeah,
you can't move up there without if you people know you're on radio. Do you know Mike Bagley? I met him once in the 7-Eleven, and it's incredible because Mike is such a wonderful guy.
I saw Dale Jr. get his autograph there one time.
Yeah, that's it.
Look, Delaware, and I know this because I grew up there, is a very small state. So, we have our celebrities for sure. Doug and I were talking about this a couple weeks ago when there was some chatter about the All-Star race, and I'm curious to get your opinion, Kyle and Brad. Is there an appetite maybe potentially for making this a points race? For making it to where it's worth more, it means more. I mean, $1 million is great and you know, we talk about the winner getting $1 million and all of that, but is there a world in which this could be like a double points race or something to where it just feels like there's more on the line?
So I'll jump and I don't know what Brad's theory is. But I'm going to say this. And my answer is no, because here's the thing. It's for the fans. It was designed originally as a break for the teams and an opportunity for the fans just to let their hair down and for the teams too. And Brad brought up a couple of different scenarios. Will it be the hottest driver? Will it be somebody that these are only win? And I've seen the other side of those coins too. Will it be the spark that ignites somebody to really take off and do something? Because a lot of times you went into the All-Star race and it's like, we got nothing to lose and everything to gain. It's not about points. It's not about, let's try something totally different that we wouldn't try at a points race, that we wouldn't be willing to step outside our comfort zone. And you try it and it works and it turns your season upside down. It totally sets you free to go do other things. So I don't want to see it just become a race, another race on a schedule that just says All-Star on it or another that means something. It means what it means to the fans, and it gives the teams a little bit of an opportunity. And I'm looking forward to Dover because it's such a different type of racetrack to run an All-Star race on. It may be everybody chatters about it, yada, yada, yada. We've never seen this. We're not going to see that. We're whatever. Let them run it. Let's see what it does, and then let's go from there. But I like it like it is. That's just me.
I agree. Look, the All-Star race, what was the Winston, so many great memories from this sport. You know, we talk about one hot night, and, you know, Kyle Petty knows that one very intimately, you know, with him and Davey Allison wrecking across the start-finish line, the pass in the grass, all the other great moments that we saw. If I had my wish, and this is just me speaking independently, I think we should reverse Hall of Fame voting and Hall of Fame induction, and we vote for the Hall of Fame in January, and we induct them in the same week that we have the All-Star race.
Great.
At Charlotte Motor Speedway, we announced the Hall of Fame inductees that night. It is a race of only winners and maybe that last chance qualifier. And look, if you want to experiment with the race car, experiment with the race car. Yeah. Do whatever you want with that. But I feel like, to me, the highlight, the heyday of the All-Star race was right there at the home of racing in Charlotte.
Yeah. I would like to see, and this has been floated out there, the old run what you brung thing.
Yeah.
Let them cheat the cars up. Go. Anything short of a bottle of nitrous, you take it out there and let's go.
Then you're going to have teams spending $2 million to make $1 million.
Pay them $2 million. Pay them three.
But I love what Brad just said. I love bringing it to Charlotte and just making it an event, a major event, with the Hall of Famers all being here, with everybody being here, with all of that stuff. It just becomes something double special. If you talk about double points, it becomes something double special to NASCAR and to the sport in general. It just elevates it. That's a great idea.
I was just curious because I know people have a lot of opinions when it comes to the All-Star race and where it sits on the schedule and where it is and all of those things.
And listen, and not to interrupt you, but I just interrupted you. But I'm going to say here's the thing. I think you have to keep sight of that's what it is, an All-Star race.
Yeah.
It's not a regular. Sometimes we want to take it and make it something else, and NASCAR has a tremendous way of taking something that shows good one time and then just jamming it down your throat until it's bad, you know, and it tastes bad. So leave it as an All-Star race. Leave it as an All-Star race, and let's enjoy the All-Star and the pomp and circumstance that goes around that.
I really want this to be a hit this week.
Oh, yeah.
I want it to be a home run because there's been so much negativity about going to Dover, about where it is and how it's being staged. I hope the competitors put on a whale of a show and the thing is three wide,
yep,
on fire, upside down when they get to the finish.
There you go.
You know,
there you go.
We can hope. All right. We're hoping for a great segment. Green flag, black flag, right around the corner.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Hi, I'm David Stiles of PRN, and I know the news cycle is very fast-paced, and we're here to bring you even more fast-paced news about the sport of NASCAR.
I'm extremely happy and proud to be holding this trophy. Obviously, I'm on the good side of it right now.
The latest news from the racetrack, the biggest storylines in the garage, and our opinions about the sport. You can hear all of it on PRN's Garage Pass.
I'm Bubba Wallace, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
It's time for a PRN Pit Stop. Today, we're getting to know Nick Yeoman.
Let's drag him up.
Who's the first person you called when you found out you were joining the PRN booth this year?
It was my dad, who, I mean, he's the reason I'm a racing fan. There's pictures of me in a crib just like hours old, and I've got like a Bill Elliott, like Coors Light number 9 hat on. It's like much larger than my head, and I have a large head. So he was definitely the one that I reached out to first.
What's the best advice you have for an aspiring broadcaster?
Well, it's going to sound silly, but it really is as simple as call what you see.
What's the craziest call you've made in your career?
Turn number 2 for the Indianapolis 500, when Scott Dixon soared through the air, I called it live, and seeing Scott Dixon's car fly through the air in flame, fire, you know, debris everywhere, that was probably the biggest one that stands out to me.
This was a PRN Pit Stop with Nick Yeoman.
Talk PRN, with all due respect to a guy that I really admire a great deal and consider him a good friend, Jeff Gluck, I don't care if it's a good or bad race. I'm going to join the Brad Gillig group.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Over,
thank you.
That's right. I don't know if Brad's the dark side or the force.
I'm the light side.
Yeah, you are the light side on that one.
Just race. Some of them are going to be outstanding and memorable, like you were talking about. Kyle Petty and Davey Allison crashing at the end of One Hot Night. Others, you're going to go, I forgot who won.
But hey, maybe Brad and I can start. What's his show called?
Who?
Gluck's.
The Teardown.
Teardown. I'm going to start putting up a poll. Was the Teardown a good or bad show? I'm just going to start putting up right after that.
Right. And it will be exactly as scientific as a good race, bad race poll.
Exactly.
One that no one should ever make a decision
exactly.
based on.
I want to be clear. I'm a big Jeff Gluck fan.
I am too.
Same. I think Jeff kind of revolutionized NASCAR as far as social and digital media is concerned. But that has become, it's a way to beat up on people. And so
you just
much,
remind me to vote yes again, by
and
the way.
So much of right it now. Is now about who won.
Oh, yeah. Wait, this is a fascinating part. So was it a good or bad race? And, we don't like the outcome because they changed their algorithm. You know what I mean? So now
talking about X?
Yeah, X changed their algorithm. Yeah. So now we don't know whether it was good or bad. Well, then stop it. Stop the madness and just take it off.
All right. Love you, Jeff. That wasn't aimed at you.
Yeah, he's an awesome guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
I may never get him on the show again.
and now this.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag. All righty. Time to play a little Green Flag, Black Flag. You know how it works. We read some statements. If our panel mulls them over and they agree with them, it gets a green flag. If they listen to it, think, I don't think so. It gets a black flag. And if do we have the one if they're all in disagreement? And, something for that. Since they, okay.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, here we go. We start with let's start with Doug Rice this time. RFK will be the only organization to put all of their cars in the chase.
I'm going to go green flag on that. They've outkicked their coverage this year, and for this season, they may be the top four team.
Right, Alexis Erickson.
Yeah, I think that 25-point penalty that hit Ryan Preece might come into play here.
He'll get that back.
You think? He's now 14th in the stand, or he finished 14th. Where is he now in the standings?
13th.
13th in the
standings.
He would
be ninth without the penalty.
Right, exactly. So he's got a little bit of work to do. I'm gonna go black flag.
Okay, what do you think, Kyle?
Yeah, I think Spire may put all theirs. No, I'm gonna go black flag. I don't think they'll be the only one.
Brad, what do you think?
I'll just split it down the middle then. I'll go green flag. Chase Briscoe keeps bouncing in and out of contention. Yeah. Joey Logano keeps dropping further. And we know Hendrick's not going to get there because Alex Bowman unfortunately missed 4.5 races. But RFK, smooth and steady week in and week out.
All right. Alexis Erickson, we go to you. Speaking of Joey Logano, he is right. Ryan Blaney is the best driver in the series right now.
In the series out of everybody.
In the whole world.
In the whole world.
He's the greatest road racer.
of all time. The best driver
in the series now.
I mean, it's hard to put him up against Tyler Reddick. I mean, when you think about just sheer amount of wins, obviously Ryan Blaney's been dealt, you know, a pretty not great pit crew this season who has taken a lot of wins away from him. I'm going to say black flag. I think he's very, very good, and he's one of the best in the series right now, but I think it's really hard to give him that ultimate crown.
Yeah, Kyle?
Yes, I'm a black flag. I don't think there is best driver right now because I think you'd have to put Ty Gibbs in the conversation as some of those guys who have just been incredibly consistent and made things happen.
Brad Gilley.
I'll say green flag. I think he is the most talented right now on a team that has had the most mistakes. And as a result, he's passed the most cars.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll say green flag.
That's fact.
Doug Rice?
Black flag. I just can't do it. I can't do it with one win this year, even though his lack of support has been biblical.
That's a good way to put it.
Biblical lack of support.
Biblical lack of support. Okay.
That should be a bumper sticker today's for his car.
That should be.
I think we've got time for this one here.
Hey,
let's do this.
He walks through the valley of the shadow.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, we go to Kyle Petty for this one first. Great job yesterday at Watkins Glen. Now, SVG disappears until Sonoma.
Oh, so it depends on what you mean by disappear.
I mean, like.
You know what? I'm going to give that a black flag because I'm going to say this. I think SVG running 15th and 16th is huge. I think Ross Chastain running 15th and 16th is sad. I think SVG is on a climb on the ovals. Watching what he's done at certain ovals. So, no, I don't think he disappears. I think his learning curve is going to get a lot steeper, but I think he continues to learn.
Brad Gilley.
Black flag. I'll get technical and say that Naval Base Coronado is the week before Sonoma, so I don't think we'll have to wait. But I think some of these other tracks, Shane Van Gisbergen is going to continue to improve. And if he just gets those 15th place, 12th place finishes, probably going to make the chase.
Doug Rice.
I'm going to agree with Brad Gilley, black flag, because I've said it before. All he's got to do is play old man golf.
Yep.
Yes.
Keep it
That's
in
it.
The fairway.
That's it.
And sometimes he does, and sometimes he doesn't. If he can play old man golf, I think he makes the playoffs, and he's legit.
And yeah. Alexis.
Yeah, I'm going to say black flag, too, just because he's already done better this year than he has the previous year when it comes to the ovals. So he is improving, and I think he will continue to do that.
All right. Doug, back to you.
All right, another wonderful round of green flag, black flag. We'll be back. Put a button on all of this.
What makes Toyota Racing, Toyota Racing? It's not just how we drive, it's why we drive. Bubba Wallace drives with resilience, building himself back up with a Toyota team that never lets him stay down. Jade Avedisian drives with determination to be faster, sharper, every lap, every day. Christopher Bell drives with inspiration, because when talent meets the perfect team, you don't just win, you inspire what comes next. Toyota Racing, your race, your story. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal and is so easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and X to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name Z-Max for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
I'm Ryan Blaney, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
I'm David Stiles, and each weekday, Andrew Kurland and I bring you the biggest stories from the garage on our daily show, Garage Pass.
I finally got onto a smooth road and just did one of those knotters and woke up tumbling, you know, out through the middle of the desert, and we had literally a vehicle that would move down the race course and chase you. Well, our chase truck got into a fender bender in a small little town, and the guys got locked up in jail.
That's PRN's Garage Pass right here.
Hey, race fans, we can't wait to see you right here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway for a wicked fast, wicked fun weekend this August as we host New England's only NASCAR Cup Series weekend. Live performances, driver appearances. Don't forget to keep an eye on NHMS.com as we count down to New England's only NASCAR Cup weekend, August 21st through the 23rd, right here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway, New England's big track, where it's always about family, friends, and fun.
Got this while we were recording the show, so I think it almost qualifies as breaking news. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., which I always thought would be a great wrestling name, has been renewed for a multi-year contract at Hyatt Motorsports. So for Ricky Stenhouse Jr., he's going to be around for at least a couple of more years. Brad, he gets a multi-year extension, and this is a guy that is 27th in points right now with no wins and no stage wins. But I guess Ricky's easy to sell.
Yeah, hey, look, good for them. I always feel like that team regularly punches above their weight. They are truly an independent team. They get virtually no help, barely any simulator time with GM, and they still go out there. And on certain weeks, they will contend up in the top five, top 10, and on speedways for wins.
Alexis, I don't want to imagine the sport of NASCAR without Ricky Stenhouse because of the fact that he waited around in the infield at North Wilkesboro in camo shorts to pummel Kyle Busch.
Yeah, you know, I thought to myself, if we could get him to do that just one more time. Yeah. No.
Yep, just once more.
But isn't it funny, though, that, I mean, obviously, you know, he's been around the sport for a long time. He's had successes. He is, you know, somebody that we all know well. But that's the thing that we think of when we think about him. Yeah. He punched Kyle Busch in the face.
It, you know, it eclipses the fact the guy won a Daytona
500. Right.
And he's won a couple of other races.
Right.
But good for Ricky Stenhouse. Yes, he gets to hang around in sport. We got about a minute to go. We're going to forego one last thing because, once again, I want to acknowledge the great work that the Kyle Petty Charity Group does with their 30th annual Kyle Petty Ride Around America. They raised a lot of money, and you and that org just doing so much for people, Kyle. I don't think you can be thanked enough.
No. Listen, thank you guys. Thanks for giving us the opportunity. But, you know, once a year we started this thing, and here we are 30 years later doing it. I think we'll probably, in donations, we'll go over $25 million this year when we finally get our money in. And it has sent so many kids to camp, and that's what it's all about, is sending kids to camp.
And next year, Brad Gilley's going to hop on his BMW and join.
We are going to broadcast from the road.
Absolutely.
No, he's in now. He is in now.
We've got to do it.
All right, big thanks to Kit Bernhardt and David Stiles behind the glass. I'm Doug Rice. Keep it between the navigational beacons.
Between the buoys.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota Racing. Your race, your story. Be part of the action at toyotaracingusa.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.